May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We may all be familiar with the phrase, we become what we eat. Health experts warn us that what we eat has a big impact on the person we become and can affect both our physical and mental health. If we eat plenty of fish and fruit and vegetables, we are more likely to be physically fit and mentally alert than if our diet consists mainly of Coke or cream cakes. Let me assure you at this point that although we are in the UK at the moment, we are eating more than fish and chips and tea and scones. What we eat affects us in all kinds of ways. We are also affected spiritually by what we feed our minds and spirits on, by what we look at, what we read, what we spend our time thinking about. Perhaps it's worth pondering from time to time whether we feed ourselves spiritually with what is good and healthy and life-giving. Jesus takes up this theme in our gospel reading this morning when he tells his disciples, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Feeding on him has a transformative effect on us and leads us to new life now and for eternity. We become what we eat. Perhaps we need to recapture just how shocking Jesus' words are. He's not just saying, "I've got some life-giving teaching for you, some timeless truths that will nourish you and help you to lead a fruitful life." He is making claims about himself. "I am the bread of life." His listeners clearly think what he says is absurd. "We know you. We know your parents, your brothers and sisters, your background. You're the son of the carpenter. How can you say you are the bread of life, come down from heaven?" But Jesus is insistent, saying, "I am the living bread. Whoever eats of this flesh will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus actually talks in the next few verses about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Very shocking words when we think about it. Why use such graphic terms? One of the things that using such terms does is remind us that Jesus was a real person of flesh and blood. Our faith is not based on some vague spiritual philosophies or principles, but on a living person, on Jesus, the Word, made flesh. Flesh which, of course, became broken for us on the cross. We receive life through Jesus' death. It is through his broken body that we are fed and nourished and enter into eternal life. He himself is the bread of life for us. As it says in one of our Eucharistic prayers, echoing words from our gospel reading, "He is the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied." We may be reminded of Jesus' words at the Last Supper. There is no account of the Last Supper in John's Gospel, like that in the other Gospels, but most scholars think that this chapter is John's equivalent. Certainly, the early Christians would have understood these words in terms of the Last Supper and communion. Jesus, at his Last Supper with his friends before his death, shares out the bread and wine, telling them, "This is my body, and this is my blood. And do this in remembrance of me." And this is still what Christians do in communion services all around the world. The Eucharist is central to our worship here at St Ursula's week by week. Having said that, there will of course be no Eucharist at St Ursula's today, and it will be a service of the Word. But perhaps the very fact of not being able to share the Eucharist together today may prompt us to reflect on what is important about it and why we value it. It's possible to believe in Jesus without receiving the bread and wine, and some Christian groups do not celebrate communion. Nevertheless, Jesus told his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. So there is something important for us about eating the bread and drinking the wine. We are physical beings, and doing something physical, taking something in our hands to eat and drink, can touch us in a deeper way than simply using our minds to think about our faith. We are more than minds and spirits, we are flesh and blood, just as Jesus was. So there is something fitting about these physical symbols being central to our faith. I wonder what communion, the Eucharist, means to you in your Christian life. If we were to share our experiences, our thoughts and feelings, I expect we'd have a variety of answers. Certainly, for me, it was the significance of the Eucharist which led me to join the Anglican Church. I was brought up in the Methodist Church, and in those days, most services were services of the Word. We had communion very rarely, and when we did, it was tagged on to the end of the service for those who wanted to stay for it. It's interesting, of course, that things have moved on since then, and nowadays communion is much more important in most Methodist churches. For me, it wasn't until I went to university that I really appreciated the significance of communion. I went along weekly to the university chapel, where we had an Anglican communion service, ASB, in those days. For me, it was a revelation. The service combined teaching, worship and prayer with the sharing of the bread and wine. And in that service, I had a new sense of intimacy with God and intimacy with other people as we were drawn together around the table. The service was more than words, and I felt that more than my mind was engaged. The whole of me was involved as I walked up to receive communion, body, mind and spirit, and I felt nourished in a new way. I also had a deeper sense of being part of the body of Christ. Communion is not just about me and God, but about being drawn together as his people. Christ is our peace, and he reconciles us to God and to one another. Now, what exactly we believe about communion again may vary, and Christians have disagreed about it over the centuries. Are we eating bread and wine simply to remember what happened at the Last Supper and Jesus' death on the cross over 2,000 years ago? Or is Jesus actually feeding us with his body and blood in some mysterious way afresh today as we receive the bread and wine? Or is the bread and wine giving us a foretaste of the future heavenly banquet? The Eucharist, in fact, in a rich way, combines past, present, and future. If you listen carefully to the Eucharistic prayers, you'll notice the past, present, and future purposes of God are all interwoven together. We look back to the Last Supper, to Jesus' death on the cross for us. We look ahead to the joyful heavenly banquet when all things are brought together in Christ. And we are fed afresh in the present as we receive the bread and wine Sunday by Sunday. When we take the bread and wine into us, we are feeding on Jesus' very life. We take his life into us. Communion is one of the ways we are nourished in our Christian lives in order to grow healthy and strong. Of course, communion is not the only way we feed on Christ. We also are nourished through prayer and worship, through fellowship with others, and through the Bible. It's interesting that some traditions of reading the Bible, for example what we call Lectio Divina, divine reading, use the image of eating or chewing over. These traditions encourage us to read short passages very slowly, several times, and ponder them, chew over them, so that they become part of us and move from the mind to the heart. This meditative reading of the Bible is a kind of feeding on Christ too. Several of us meet to meditate on scripture passage in this way every week, and it's certainly a source of nourishment. We do this as a group, and after we have pondered and chewed over the passage, we share our thoughts together, which can be very encouraging. But we can also use this method of meditating on the Bible on our own, as a personal discipline. You might want to try it for yourself. Read a short passage of scripture slowly, several times, and chew over any word or phrase which particularly strikes you, allowing them to speak deeply to your mind and your heart. Perhaps try using a verse from our gospel reading this morning over this coming week. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Take these words into yourself, chew them over, and then move from your reflections into prayer. You may be surprised that later in the day these words may come welling up in your mind and heart when you're not thinking about them. They have deeply nourished you and become a part of you. "Taste and see that the Lord is good," as the psalmist says. What are we feeding ourselves with? What do we spend time thinking about or chewing over, looking at or reading? What do we feed our emotions and our bodies with? Do those things build us up and make us healthy, or do they make us unhealthy? Perhaps there are some things we feed our minds and hearts with which are not really doing us any good. We can feed ourselves with lots of stuff we don't need. We can feed ourselves with negative thoughts and emotions, envy, bitterness, resentment and anger. Sometimes we can feed on images, forms of communication, consumer goods, patterns of thoughts, which become a kind of unhealthy addiction. What kind of people does this kind of food turn us into? We become what we eat. Let us ponder today where we get our nourishment from and what kind of nourishment it is, and whether we give enough time and thought to our spiritual nourishment. If we are spiritually well nourished and healthy, we will, of course, have more to give to others. May we feed daily on Christ, the Word made flesh, through both word and sacrament, so that we slowly become like him. We become what we eat. Amen.